Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't like preaching on this because I look at the words that were said about the tongue and I think I'm going to burn. No one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Talks about the tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. Boy, is that difficult. And if James were writing today, he would not only talk about the tongue, he would talk about the keystroke. Because now we can insult people without even looking at them. We can do it through Twitter, we can do it through Facebook, all sorts of social media. We can put people down and we don't even have to see their expressions. I know there are times when I say things, and as soon as they're going out of my mouth, I'm trying to stuff them back in. Have you ever had that experience? You know what you're saying is dumb, and you're trying to fix it as you're speaking and falling over your words. James talks about that when he says, all of us make mistakes. But then there are times that I say things that I absolutely mean, and I know they're not nice, and if you give me the opportunity to say it again, I will. How do you deal with that? And then you look at the scripture that talks about taming the tongue. I believe James gives us a hint, because he says, with this tongue we're blessing the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of the Father. Made in the likeness of God. And the only way that we can tame our tongues is to remember that the recipient on the other end of my tongue is a beloved child of God. And the same reverence that I have for the Almighty when I'm praying is the same reverence that I need for the person on the receiving end of my speech. That elevates our speech, doesn't it? When we realize that that's a beloved child of God. Now, that does not mean that Christians need to walk on eggshells, that we shouldn't speak truth, that sometimes there are hard words to say. James said many hard words in his epistle. He doesn't mince words. Jesus had some hard words to say to people. It's not that we need to walk on eggshells, but what we need to do is have reverence for the other as a beloved child of God. That will change our speech patterns. Then we get into the gospel lesson where Peter is not saying terrible things. Peter starts out by speaking truth to Jesus about who he is. It's a wonderful statement. Jesus asks, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, oh, you're not Elijah, who was a wonderful prophet, or John the Baptist. No, you have a greater title than that. You are the Messiah of God. What a wonderful title. The Messiah was to be a superhuman person who was to deliver the people of Israel, deliver them by assembling an army that was going to be stamped by God's approval. And these people who had followed him were very understandably going to be lieutenants in that army. And you can imagine for people who were oppressed, for people who were always under the thumb of another government, what it must have felt like to know this man was going to lead us and we were going to fight for our nation. So Peter says, you're the Messiah. And Jesus said, okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to be dragged into court, and I'm going to be executed. Executed in the most humiliating way. The only people who were executed by the Roman government were either people who were horrendous criminals or people who were in poverty. It was a humiliating way to die. There was a Jewish expression at that time that said, cursed is everyone who dies on a tree. And he tells them that the Messiah is to die, and Peter naturally takes him aside and says, cut it out. You can't talk like that. Now, he not only said that for what he thought was Jesus' sake, but if you're a follower of a great man, how do you follow him into humiliation? What cause can you rally around? It's wonderful to rally around a winner, but Jesus was saying, I'm going to lose it all. And so naturally, Peter's whole future was wrapped up in Jesus. He certainly didn't want that for himself or his followers, and so he rebuked him. And Jesus turned around and said, you're trying to get me off a path that I need to be on. And it reminds us that sometimes we can try to guide other people, not in the way they should go or that they feel their lives need to go, but in what we think they ought to be doing. My mother told me the story when she was being raised up. The women of that time, women were given a lot of training in the home arts, in sewing, in knitting, in cooking, in all the things that would make them a good housewife. Her mother was a brilliant seamstress. She would make the designs for Bucilla, and they'd hang in the Manhattan shops. This is how gifted her mother was. All her sisters got those kinds of skills and were just genius when it came to the homemaking arts. And then there was Mom. And Mom received none of that skill. In fact, her mother had an expression in Italian which meant malformed hands, and she called her child malformed hands, and my mother passed that on to me. And she was teased unmercifully for the awful ways that she sewed and cooked and all the things that came naturally to her sisters and her mother. But her father understood that my mother might have been different, and for that day and age, that her skills were not lifted up as a womanly skill, but my mother could calculate to a penny. My mother was a full charge bookkeeper, and my grandfather encouraged her in that. And she rose from, with a high school education, she ran the entire payroll department in a New York City university. Because one person saw her gifts and encouraged her. Now, if she had gone into business with her hands, she would have failed spectacularly. But that was not the gift that God had given to her. There was a young man in my previous church who, at 10 years old, I could see what a gift that child had. He was a brilliant artist. He could draw anything. And he had a wonderful imagination, and we'd watch as he drew, and we were so incredulous as to this man's gift, this young boy's gift. But his parents could only see that a gift of an artist would not get him far in life, and especially earning money, so they discouraged it. But we in the church encouraged it. At 12 years old, they sent him away. They sent him a school that would toughen him up and changed the trajectory of his life. When he came back as a young adult, I asked him, I said, I'd love to see some of your artwork. He said, oh, Pastor, that was just doodling. He's in his 30s today and he's homeless. You see, God created all of us with very unique gifts. And our job is not to steer people the way we want them to go, but is to elicit from them the beauty and the gifts that God has given to them. These verses tell us how to be very careful with the people around us. There are not only precious gifts that we are given, but there's a fragility about them. And we can encourage and have people become more than we could ever dream, or we can crush them. This is our challenge in life, and I hope that tomorrow, when we get together with friends and family, when we have our bantering moments or we have just deep talks with people, that we remember to have a reverence for the people we are speaking to and understand that their uniqueness is something that is a gift not only to us, but to their world and the people around them. What a gift we have. What a treasure we have. God has given us the responsibility to see people through this life, to encourage them, and to treat each one, even the difficult one, as beloved children of God. May we walk that way this week. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the many and varied gifts among the people here today. I thank you that you have created us uniquely in your image with so much to give back to this world. And I ask that you would help each of us to nurture the people around us with their gifts. For I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.